Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Ask John Call-In Day. This is an open question and answer session where you can call in and speak to me directly or simply listen live on the audio player on the webpage. If you've called in and have questions, press 1 to raise your hand. If you're listening on the audio player on the webpage, you'll see a box where you can type in questions. Feel free to enter your questions there as well. These sessions are all about you, and this is your opportunity to call in and speak to me live, and let me work with you to help you solve your weight loss problems forever. So if you've got something you want to talk about, please give us a call.
Cool. Welcome, everyone. So this is the question and answer session for week 4 of the new you in the new year. And this week we've been talking about exercise, the right way and the wrong way to do exercise. And I want to stress again that we talked a lot about it in the class earlier this week, but I want to stress again that this may not be the right time for you to exercise. It may or may not. We're introducing these concepts over a 5-week period, but you can take as long as you want or need. If you're working through a lot of stress or emotional issues, then focus on that. Once you get to a place where you start to feel more energy, then cool. Then you can start introducing these concepts. You can go back and listen to the class and take it from there. So I don't want you to feel stressed. I don't want you to feel pressured. It is not a one-size-fits-all type of thing. It's really about you and addressing the real issues that are affecting you. So just something to think about, but I'm more than happy to have to talk and answer any questions that you have about exercise or anything else that's going on for you right now. This can be a quick class if you don't have too many questions, but if you do, we'll spend as long as we need, up to an hour talking. And also, if you want to post comments or questions in the chat role, that's fine. And we have Tiffany and Nadia there that can help you, and also some of our customer service team that can help you answer those questions. Okay, let's see. Tiffany is just typing in right now. Let's bring Nadia in if we can, and answer some of the questions that are coming in on the chat roll, and also some of the questions that we've had over the last week.
Hi, John.
Hey, Nadia, how are you?
I'm really good, thanks. How are you doing?
Yeah, great, thanks.
Good.
What's happening?
So, Chris, not too much. We've got just one question right now in the chat roll from Kristen, and her question is, that, John, you mentioned drinking water before and after eating. Is it also okay to drink water during a meal?
Yeah, it's okay. The reason why it's not necessarily recommended, like I don't go out of my way to recommend it, is that it can dilute some of the stomach acid and the digestive enzymes and therefore make them not as powerful. And as you know, we talked about in week 2, that we need digestive enzymes and we need stomach acid, we need probiotics, we need all that kind of stuff, or friendly bacteria for proper digestion. And drinking too much water during a meal can dilute both the enzymes and the acids. So that's a reason not to do it during the meal. But before a meal and after a meal, you know, while like a starting from a, like say a half an hour after a meal, then it's great. Cool.
Perfect.
You know, Nadia. We do have Kylie just called in from Canberra, so
okay.
I'm going to take her call right now, and then we'll come back with any other questions that we have.
Sounds perfect. Thanks, John.
Okay, thanks. Cool. So let's talk to Kylie, if we can.
Hi, John. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Hello? I'm good.
Yeah, hi.
Good.
Can you hear me? Yeah.
Yeah, I can now. That's fine.
Cool.
My question is basically every time I embark on something to improve my health, I get really, really sick. So I have psoriasis, and basically when I started this, 4 weeks ago now, it's completely flared up, and I'm just wondering if there's anything, you know, I can do to increase my immunity really so that I don't have this problem.
So, well, that's great. That's great that your psoriasis has cleared up. Now, when you say that typically when you start some sort
flared
of health...
It's flared up.
So is that what typically happens? When you typically start to do something that's healthy, you get sick. Is it the psoriasis, or is there other symptoms that you get also?
I get psoriasis, and then I like would get a cold or like flu-y, and feeling
and
generally
is that happening
unwell.
This time also? is that happening this time as well?
Yeah.
So there's two reasons why that would happen. Well, other than if you're eating something that you're allergic to that you don't know of. But aside from that, there's two reasons why it would happen. One is because your body's detoxifying. And the reaction is, but when you give your body enough space to detoxify, then you start getting detoxification symptoms. It's a little bit like if you're drinking coffee every day, you're not going to get any kind of aches and pains or headaches or kidney pains or leg pains or any of that kind of stuff. It's only when you go off the coffee. Yeah. That doesn't mean that the coffee is not toxic for you. It just means that your body can't detoxify unless it has the space to detoxify. If you're still putting the toxins in and living a toxic life, your body's not going to detoxify, because what's the point? Because it already has to deal with the toxins you're putting in. So when you start to do healthier things and have less toxins, it creates space for your body to detoxify. And sometimes detoxification symptoms can show up as skin problems, as flu and general feelings of unwellness. So that's the first thing that could be happening, and probably the most likely, by the way. The other is an emotional reaction because of a resistance from your body's perspective to let go of weight. Your body could be reacting emotionally, and they're both related to your immune system. Your emotions and your mental state and even your beliefs can affect your immune system. And of course, when you're detoxifying, it affects your immune system. My sense is that it would be great for you to kind of focus on giving your body as much space to detoxify. And when I say that, really what I mean is shifting the balance between how many toxins are coming in and how many toxins are going out. Sounds like you're doing that already, but if you do it consciously for a couple more weeks, I'm guessing you're going to come out the other side. To use the analogy of coffee, what's that? What were you going to say?
Yeah, that sounds perfect.
Yeah. To use the analogy of coffee again, go back to that analogy, if you were to go long enough without coffee, those detoxification symptoms would go away and give rise to an incredible surge of energy. So my sense is that if you keep doing what you're doing for another couple of weeks, you might come to a place where your skin's clearing up and you have a renewed sense of vitality and energy, a spring in your step. And you will work through an important issue that's obviously been affecting you and plaguing you for a long time. And to answer your question specifically about the immune system, what I find is this combination of working through emotional issues, reducing stress, healing digestion, and detoxifying your body and nourishing your body better. That combination is what the immune system is. It's like magic. So many things, when I first started doing this 15 plus years ago at this point, so many chronic illnesses I knew nothing about. I didn't even know what fibromyalgia was or chronic fatigue or Epstein-Barr's or any of these things. I didn't even know what they were. And the way I heard about them were people were telling me, oh, my fibromyalgia is gone. My chronic fatigue is gone. My Hashimoto's is gone. Who ever heard of Hashimoto's? I mean, unless you're really into health and you have a thyroid health, who heard of Hashimoto's?
Yeah.
Turns out that what happens is your immune system gets overworked and all of these and it causes all these chronic issues. And what heals the immune system, number one, I'd say, is working through emotional issues, believe it or not. And no one talks about this. They talk about doing this detox and this protocol and the chronic fatigue protocol and the Hashimoto's protocol. Everybody wants to talk about protocols, but the reality is that the emotional, and I've just found this just from working with people, emotional trauma, emotional issues, they cause immune issues more than anything else, hands down. you work through emotional trauma, and then at the same time, you're adding nutrients, healthier fats and super greens and spirulinas and salads. You're adding all that. You're healing your digestion, and it is magic recipe for your immune system and your body as well. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that does. That's great.
Cool.
Yeah, because I sort of know exactly where it started, so I'll head there.
Okay. Cool.
Yeah.
Cool.
Excellent.
Then go through it. Come out the other side, and you'll be a new person. Awesome.
Hopefully. Excellent. Thank you so much.
My pleasure. Take care. Cool. Let's talk to Rosie in Brisbane.
Hello.
Hi, Rosie.
Hi. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Yeah, good. Thanks. I was just wondering. So my question was. My question was about setting boundaries. Because I know my issue is pretty much all the emotional eating side of things from last week. And I just like have trouble with just setting boundaries and like having this feeling of just being not as important as everyone else. And then so then I have to kind of do what's better for them rather than what's better for me. But I just wondered if you had any ways to try and like deal with that.
Yeah. Well, the first thing I want to say about that is that, you know, emotional issues and setting boundaries go hand in hand, especially if you've had emotional trauma. I don't know your situation, but I would, I had my share of, or certainly a large share of abuse and trauma growing up. And I can tell you that they go hand in hand because when you've been dominated or abused in any way, mental, physical, any type, you there's a fear that comes out. You don't want to, you become conflict avoidant. You don't want to rock the boat. You don't want to, because you don't know how that, because when the program that you had, the training that you had as a kid, the experience that you had is that, you know, when you set those boundaries, somebody would push through those and dominate you. And so you don't want to create that situation. You don't want to get into that situation. And so they do go hand in hand. So really the first thing to do is work through the emotions because it's like you're two sides of the same animal. When you work through the emotional issues, the boundary, your sense of stronger sense of self and your willingness to say no and stand up for yourself and also feel important, all of those things combined, they come back. When you've worked through emotional issues. And what's great about that also is then it's easier to lose weight because weight, your body uses weight as a boundary, you know, separates you from the world to push other people away, all these different things. So it's really kind of one-stop shopping for you is working through the emotional issue. And we talked about in week three, we talked about the safe, strong, and protective visualization. And you can use the concepts from the safe, strong, and protected visualization to further help you strengthen your boundaries. And I'll give you an example. In the safe, strong, and protected visualization, we talk about a column of light that's around your body and then also the guardian angel that's wrapping their wings around you. You're familiar with these concepts, right?
Yeah.
Are you familiar with it? Okay. So
I've been doing that visualization. Yep.
Yeah. Cool. So this is how you can use this. So the way you use this is in a kind of like a rehearsal type of way. If there's a situation, let's say you're thinking about your day and you're going to need to talk to your partner about something that's uncomfortable or your employer about something that's uncomfortable or a neighbor, whatever the thing is, you can use that. If you know that that's coming up, there's a conversation where you got to stick up for yourself. You know that that's coming up. The first thing that you can do is you can rehearse this, where you visualize the conversation, but you visualize the conversation with all the protection around you. So you're visualizing that you're talking to this person, and there's a column of light around you and a guardian angel, and you're looking them right in the eye, and you're saying exactly what you want to say, but you're saying in a loving way, but firm way. You know, you're saying, no, that's not okay with me. And you can even imagine white light and love coming out of your eyes. So it doesn't have to be a confrontative type of thing. White light and love coming out of your body and your eyes and your heart to the other person. And the other person just hearing you and saying, okay, I accept that. That's fine. And then walking away. So imagining happening in a positive way. That's if you know that there's a situation coming up. And then when the actual situation comes up in real life, also bring all of that protection around you, just like you rehearse, just like you imagine, and have it happen just like you're imagining, where there's white light's coming out of you, love's coming out of you, you're firm, you're looking in the eye, you're firm and saying, no, that's not okay with me, and just bring all that in, all that protection in. And in fact, the more of time of the day that you can bring that protection in, the more your body's going to be looking for that protection rather than creating a boundary with the weight to try to protect you. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that sounds really good. Yeah.
And then the other thing I would say, because you mentioned feelings of self-worth, you know, I have these affirmations that I think are extremely effective. I've probably talked about them before in some of these classes, that what you do is you imagine every cell of your body saying them. So if you imagine every cell is like a person, and so you've got 70 trillion people saying at the same time inside you, the affirmations are, I love you, I accept you, I appreciate you, I forgive you. And you just repeat that. I love you, I accept you, I appreciate you, I forgive you. And then I'll say one, and then I'll add one more for you, that you say, I am worthy, I deserve, or two more. I am worthy, I deserve. So every cell in your body is saying, I am worthy. Every cell is saying, I'm deserved. I deserve it. And if you do it when you're actually visualizing, you get into a highly programmable mode. You know, the alpha and the theta state, the brainwave state, is where thought patterns become programs. So the thought pattern, instead of the thought pattern being you're not worthy, the thought pattern is I'm worthy. So you can reprogram that. And I would take those two along with anything else that you're doing to work on emotional issues, and this whole issue of boundaries is going to be a non-issue for you. That makes sense?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, great. That sounds good. Yeah.
Okay.
So the affirmations, we use that, kind of like do that every day, like the affirmations.
It's a good time to do it is like while you're listening to the visualization, maybe not for the whole time or whatever you think of it, just imagine every cell of your body saying, I love you, I accept you, I appreciate you, I forgive you.
Okay.
And then I am worthy.
Yeah, great.
I deserve. Yeah. Yeah, cool. Awesome.
Yeah.
All right,
okay.
Give that a try.
Awesome. Thank you.
Yeah. All right.
Okay. All right, great. Thanks a lot.
Sure. Cool. So let's talk to Pinky, please.
Hi, John.
Hi, Pinky. How are you?
Good. How are you? I just wanted to ask you that I've had two emotional past issues in my life, okay? Different reasons.
Yeah.
So once when it happened to me when I was 9 years old, I had lost all the weight when I was 19 years old.
Yeah.
But then I again gained weight around 25 kilos with a different reason.
Yeah.
So I was wondering, do I have to address just slowly, gradually,
after the event, you're saying, let me just understand, Pinky. You had a traumatic event. You lost a lot of weight, and then you started gaining gradually. Yes. Okay. I'm going to answer your question because this is really common. This is a common reaction, because when you have a trauma, actually is common to lose weight in the beginning because it's an acute. Your body interprets it as an acute stress. There's an acute threat. I understand, man. So you said you had a trauma when you were 19.
I was 9 years old.
When you were 9 years old. So you had a trauma when you were 9 years old, and that caused you to gain weight, and then you lost the weight when you were 19. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. Yes.
Okay. Then what happened? Take me from there.
Then I had another emotional trauma, which led me to gain around 25 kgs.
And what age were you then?
I was around 28. Now I'm 33.
Were they similar types of issues?
Not really, different.
Yeah. Okay. So your question
go ahead. My arms started becoming very big, like abnormal size, you know, the arms compared to the other part of the body.
So I
read in Louis Hay's book that arms is anger and denied of love when the fat is in the arms area.
Does that make sense to you?
Yes, it does.
Given, okay, all right. So maybe some sort of anger type of work, releasing anger, forgiveness. Yeah. Sometimes when you forgive, this is something to think about. There's a couple of things. With forgiveness is a huge issue that can help you let go of weight. And when you do forgive, I just want to point this out, people often don't forgive because what the other person did is not right, not just, not fair, not allowed, all of these different things. But when you forgive, you're giving a gift to yourself. It's not about the other person. Yeah. You're not giving anything to the other person. You're giving a gift to yourself because you're carrying a lot of anger, resentment, and trauma, and also excess weight. So when you forgive, you can let go of all that. And that's why, just going back to the affirmations that we spoke about in my last call with Rosie, let's just talk about those affirmations for a second. If you're imagining every cell of your body saying, I love you, I accept you, I appreciate you, I forgive you. And the forgiveness can go toward you personally, but you can also direct it toward other people if you want as well, only because it serves you. Do you understand? It's not about the other person.
Yes.
It's like, you know, my father used to say the best revenge is having a great life, meaning that, you know, like if someone tried to hurt you or stop you or slow you down and you're still way on top, that's the kind of the best revenge, you know. And not that you need revenge really, but I just want to bring you to this place where there, you know, if you're really on top, living an incredible life and overcame adverse trauma, then you have really shown yourself and the world that person didn't get the best of you. And I'm just bringing this to your attention because forgiveness is just so powerful, and it's for you. I don't need to know what the other person did or did, you know, none of those things. It's just so powerful for you. And in fact, Louise Hay was abused as a child. She was sexually abused as a very young child. And she went on to heal. She used it as an opportunity to heal herself and heal the world. She really did heal the world because her books have been read by over 100. Yeah, her books have been read by over 100 million people. She really, myself included. I read her book in the 80s and did her affirmations. And you know, she's healed the world. And one of my books is published by her, by Hay House, The Visualization for Weight Loss. You got that book. Okay. I believe she would say, and I know I was on stage with Wayne Dyer at a Hay House event, you know, so I love the work that I do. And I know that she's a big fan of forgiveness for your own sake. So I would really love to. And the other thing is, the other thing that I think is a very powerful concept, and, you know, you don't have to adopt this belief system, but I adopted this belief system because it serves me so well. So another powerful concept. Yeah, I'm going to tell you. I'm going to introduce a way of thinking that helps relieve, let go of past traumas and the issues around it and the anger and resentment around it. Is I always say to myself, let's let the universe do the accounting. Meaning that who knows what. What when we experience something and it seems like a bad thing and a trauma usually always is a bad thing in that moment, who knows if it happened for a bad reason or not? Who knows if it happened to, maybe there's some part of you, your higher self, the immortal part of you, your soul guides in combination with whatever your beliefs are about the non-physical universe, that there's some part of you that actually knew that was going to happen. Because the non-physical parts of us live outside of time. Time doesn't just happen sequentially. Actually, according to quantum physics, time is happening all at once right now, and the non-physical parts of us know that. So some part of you that knew that was going to happen and allowed it to happen for the growth, for the experience, to learn something. In the grand scheme of things, we can't see the grand scheme of things. We see a very, very small part. And if we trust and let the universe do the accounting, of what's right or wrong or good or bad, or whether something happened to us is good or bad. If we let the universe do the accounting, we can let go. We can let go of the need to have revenge or the need to punish or the need to feel that you've been wronged. And we all have. You know, it's very, very hard to get through life without having somebody, you know, do something that's really, really wrong toward you. So we've all experienced that. But for the ones that I've looked at in my life, I've reframed to understand that maybe I knew this was going to happen. Maybe I wanted this to happen. Maybe it shaped me into who I am now. And in doing that, mm-hmm. you kind of let go of it. You let the universe figure it out. You give it up to the universe. Let the universe do the accounting. So it's just something to think about also that might make your journey a little bit easier. Also, coming back to your original question, Pinky, of whether or not you should just look at that one most recent trauma or the previous trauma, I think that you should start with the most recent trauma and then also look at the previous trauma, because sometimes previous traumas make our body's reaction to the next trauma worse. So it all started, you know, if you look at somebody who maybe had a difficult relationship with their father, and then all of a sudden, and that was traumatic, and now all of a sudden they've got a difficult relationship with their husband, and that's traumatic. So there's a trauma there that's happening right now, or maybe happened recently, but the real trauma happened earlier. So the original traumas are the most important ones to look at. So I would not discount that and ignore that one. This current thing, the most recent one, exacerbated the previous one and has put you in the place where you are now. Does that make sense?
Yes. Thank you, John.
Cool. Okay, take care.
Thank you.
Cool, okay, let's bring Nadia back, if we can, and answer some more questions.
Hey, John.
Hey, Nadia.
Hi, so there are just a few questions in the chat role. The first one comes from, her name isn't here, but it's written down as guest 1750. And her question is,
okay.
I'm in my mid-50s and I haven't been physically active for 17 months due to a serious car accident. Now that I'm released, how do I ease into physical activity? I like to lift weights and hike, but I'm finding I get winded easily with any amount of weight or hill. How do I build up my strength and endurance without feeling my heart pounding a few seconds into a rep set or hiking uphill?
You just got to start really, really slow. You might want to start on something like a stationary bike where you're just spinning for a minute or two and build up your cardiovascular system that way. And then as far as the weights go, just use none or very, very light weights just to feel the blood. You really, right now it sounds to me like your cardiovascular system needs to be built up. You just want to feel blood flowing in a gentle way. And so if you're just spinning for 30 seconds or a minute or two real light on a stationary bike, you're going to get some circulation. If you're just moving your arms in the movements that you would do with lifting weights without having any weight associated to it, but just to get some gentle blood flow to it, it's not going to take long to build back up. I would not push yourself. I would not compare yourself to where you were 17 months ago. Just start from where you're at and just go really slowly and easily.
Great. Thanks, John.
Sure.
The next question comes from Kristen, and she says, how long will I take to see results? I want to be super patient. I love what I have learned, but I am sitting at the weight where I usually stop losing, and I'm nervous that my enthusiasm will dwindle without some results. John talked about three-month plateaus. Yikes.
Well, you know, why say yikes? Because, like, I look at my brother right now, who has lost well over 200 pounds. He's lost about 220 pounds. And he keeps losing, you know, and now he doesn't have an ounce of fat on him. It's just unreal. He's 57 years old, you can't, like, pinch an ounce off his skin. It's just unbelievable he's actually in the best shape of his life at the age of 57, having previously been probably 450, something like that. He's tall. He's taller than me. He's 6'4" and very muscular. And he's got a 34-inch waist now. I mean, it's unbelievable. And I've watched this and it's happened over a 4-year period. And it's very, very sustainable. It just keeps going in the same direction. But yeah, he has 3-month plateaus. And yes, so did I. 15 years ago, you know, I lost the weight 15 years ago. And yeah, I had 15 years ago, I did have 3-month plateaus. So when you say yikes, what I want to just caution you about is this kind of urgency, because really what you want is you want sustainability. You want it to stay. I mean, look, you want to, like, if you can pick any diet that's out there and you'll break through your plateau or where you're at right now for another couple of weeks, but where are you going to be 2 weeks after that, or another month, but where are you going to be a month after that? If you want sustainable weight loss, you have to focus on the issues and feel good about where you're at, because it sounds like you've lost weight already, and keep focusing on healing and nurturing yourself without being too urgent and immediate to get the weight off. It's very paradoxic, but I find that the less you focus on the weight and the more you focus on health and healing and energy, as we've been talking about, the quicker the weight comes off. But to answer your question about when you'll see results, this is not a one-size-fits-all type of thing. I've seen unbelievable people have lost weight at a staggering speed. I've seen people lose 100-plus pounds in a couple of months, in 3 to 6 months. And then I've worked with people that have taken 6 months before they lost the weight. It's just not one size fits all. I'm not offering you a pill to take. It's not that simple, because I don't know what your issues are. And I'd love to talk to you, and that's why we're having these weekly calls, so I can talk to you and see if I can help focus on your issues that maybe you haven't thought about yet. You know, we talk, and then all of a sudden you go, oh, you mentioned something, and I pointed out, and you hadn't thought about that, and that's going to help you break through your plateau. So we can talk about it, but just blindly saying how long will it take, it could be immediately, and it could take months. And 3 month plateaus, I stand by. They're nothing to be ashamed of, because if your body is working in a way that where you're naturally lowering your set point. And your body's not losing weight because your body wants to let go of weight, it's going to want to stay at a certain weight for a while and see if you're safe. Because once again, when you're working with the body, weight is all about safety. So if your body wants to let go of weight, it means it feels that it's safe to let go of weight. And then once it lets go a little weight, it wants to make sure that you're safe there. Are you still safe at this weight? And it's going to want to spend some time there. And then once it does, it says, okay, I'm still safe. We still want to let go of weight. Let's let go of some more weight. So that's the way it was for me. Yeah, I'd lose weight. I'd all of a sudden lose 50 pounds in a month, and then I'd be at the same weight for 3 or 4 months, and I'd lose another 25 pounds in a month, and I'd be the same weight for a month or two. It's just the way it was. But it's a very sustainable way to go. So I would urge you to sort of reframe that concern around plateaus. Where plateaus become a problem, let me tell you where plateaus are a problem and why we typically hate plateaus. The typical type of plateau, which is not this plateau that I'm talking about, the typical type of plateau is when you are not addressing the real issues, when you are going to war with your body, when you are forcing your body to eat less, and you are forcing your body to lose weight. What happens is you reach a plateau not because your body wants to feel safe at this weight or whatever. You reach a plateau because your body's at war with you, and it's figured out how to stop you. How's it stopping you? It's slowing your metabolism. It's raising your insulin levels. It's getting you to a place where you can't burn fat anymore, and where you're able to sustain yourself at the lower amount of calories that you're having. And then you're hungry all the time. And then you want to binge, and you're resisting it. And you finally binge, and then you gain the weight back. That's where the plateaus become a problem. But when you're doing it the right way, by addressing the real issues, nourishing your body, healing your body, healing your digestion, detoxifying your body, reducing stress, reducing emotional issues, getting better sleep, doing all these things, hydrating your body better. When you're doing it the right way, your body's going to want to let go of some weight, and then it's going to want to see, is that good? And then it's going to want to let go of a little bit more weight. So what I would want you to be focused on is not whether or not you're going to have plateaus or how long they're going to be, is, am I doing this the right way? And if you focus on that, and not even the weight, just focus on, am I healing my body? Am I addressing these issues? Do I have more energy? Am I feeling healthier, more vitality? Do I have less stress? Do I work with emotional issues? When you focus on that, the weight's going to be the consequence of that. So I would say take the focus off the weight and focus specifically on the healing issues. Hold on, Tiffany just sent me a message. Huge key to Joe's success. I love this. So Tiffany's on the line right now. Tiffany's in the chat role. And Tiffany is one of our coaches who's, for those of you that don't know, she's a single mom raising five kids. She lost 88 pounds when all the kids were under seven. And she was raising them on her own and supporting them on her own. It's pretty amazing. She's also a Gabriel Method coach, and she also worked with my brother Joe while he was losing the weight. And she just sent a message. She said, a huge key to Joey's success is deciding he would let it take as long as it takes. And that's right. I remember that. He just said, as long as it takes, as long as I'm progressing and getting healthier and more healing issues and having more energy, and I'm not at war with my body, I'm going to let it take as long as it takes. So I would urge you to kind of reframe the situation that you're in and look at it more that way.
Beautiful.
Cool. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes so much sense. And I think it's a very inspiring answer for many people listening. Thanks, John.
Sure.
And the person, Kristen, who asked that question, just typed into the chat role and said a big thank you as well.
Awesome. Cool. And Kristen, let's talk anytime you want. We do have another show next week where we can talk if you want. So be happy to have that chat.
Becky, who's in the chat role right now, is just writing in. She says, I seem to be able to lose weight on the upper part of my body and get close to the weight I'd like to be, but excess weight stays on my hips. This has happened twice before when I lost weight. Do you have any suggestions about how to get rid of weight in specific areas?
Yeah, that's typically related to something called estrogen dominance, which is very common for women that are older than 35. They tend to get estrogen dominance, and that's the type of weight that stays. You might want to look at different, just do a little bit of research about estrogen dominance, if there's any specific supplements that people recommend, like things like ashwagandha and rhodiola are good for that. I have seen some success with women that have estrogen dominance that is kind of interesting, and I'm a little bit cautious about it. I'm not ready to make a recommendation about it, but I have seen some success with women taking a testosterone cream. And I know that sounds bizarre, but why does a woman need testosterone? But actually, women do need testosterone, and estrogen dominance causes us to have too little testosterone. When you have too little testosterone, you tend to gain weight in your legs and hips, have problems falling asleep, have problems with energy and inspiration and concentration and all these different things. And the estrogen and the testosterone can help offset that. The reason why I'm cautious about making this recommendation is I almost never make a recommendation for hormonal supplements because they typically have a rebound effect. Your body becomes builds up a tolerance to the supplement, to the hormone that you're taking, and then it becomes even less. Your body produces even less of it. So I'm a little cautious about it, but you might want to do a little bit of research about it and see what you think, and maybe talk to some people that are experts in the area that you respect, or in general do some research on estrogen dominance, because that's what's affecting you.
Great. Thanks, John. Rebecca is
sure.
Also typing in right now, and she's not able to call in because her child is sitting with her right now. And her question is, I gained 40 kilos during my pregnancy, and it's been 7 years, and I am still at the same weight as the day I gave birth. I don't gain weight. I have had your book for 5 years now, and I just can't seem to get things to click. I do feel like my body is at war with me. I have tried to address the emotional issues. I'm 43 and so tired of constantly looking for some magic bullet. I've been okay for years, but this year I've been in chronic pain. It's painful to sit, to sleep, to walk. All of it is painful.
Yeah, so it is common for women to gain weight after pregnancy and not be able to lose it. That does happen. And that also happens from a hormonal shift that we're talking about, which is interesting. We just talked about it, from estrogen dominance. It sounds, if you're in chronic pain also, my sense is if I just kind of like tune into where you're at, I feel like you need more space to be you and to enjoy your life and to focus on what is important for you and what your needs are and self-care. I mean, you know, it's sort of kind of indicative of your you can't make a call because your child's right there. And I totally understand that. I have two kids myself. And we tend to get into this place, this feeling of like we have no space, no freedom, no time for ourselves. And that can cause a reaction to our immune system, and it can cause a hormonal reaction. And both of those can cause weight gain and the chronic pains that you're experiencing right now. If your kid's seven now.
She just
now,
wrote in, John, and said that she's also a single mother.
Yeah, well, there you go. You know, I would love for you to talk to Tiffany, actually, maybe aside from this. Tiffany is a, you know, Gabriel Method coach, and might be worth having a session or two with her just to get her take on how she survived, because she was a single mother of five, and then she ended up losing 88 pounds and has kept it off for 5 or 6 years now. She might have a lot of words of wisdom for you, and maybe you guys can connect. But when you are single parents, there's very little of the day do you think about, hey, what do I want to do today? Ooh, you know, do I want to go to a movie? Do I want to go out to eat? Whatever. Very little do you think of self-care. And one of the things that my wife does, Kayleen, and that she actually got coaching on, is that she has to do 3 self-care things every day. And that doesn't have to be extravagant. It doesn't mean you have to go to a spa for 3 hours or go out to lunch for 2 hours. It doesn't have to be overly time-consuming it doesn't have to be overly elaborate. For her, one of them is as simple as taking a hot shower that's, you know, 10 minutes or 5 or 10 minutes longer just to be there. That's one as an example. But whatever because the benefit of it isn't so much whatever it is you're doing, it's thinking in this way. The healing part comes from thinking about you and your needs. So taking actions to do things simply for you and your needs. It's so easy when you're a parent to just completely forget about yourself. I've been in this, you know, because I have a 2-year-old now, and I've been in this place for a while where I never go out at night anymore. I started going out for walks in town at night just to be a part of the action, just to feel part of what everyone else is doing, and to be out in the fresh air and just to do something for myself. And that's been tremendously beneficial and healing for me. But I would urge you to adopt this strategy of making a commitment to do 3 things that are self-care things for you every day. And the other thing about doing it that way is that whenever you do the thing that's a self-care thing, if you don't have this in place, like this is part of my schedule, this is part of my routine, this is what I'm going to do. If you don't have that in place when you're doing the self-care thing, it feels overly indulgent. You shouldn't be doing this because you should be maybe sending an email to help your business, or you should be doing something for your daughter. There's always this feeling like you should be doing something else for someone else. And when you schedule it in that you're going to do 3 self-care things every day, you don't feel guilty. This is part of what works for me and helps me be a better mother and helps me be a better provider and helps in all these different ways and with my weight and all this. So it's a very clever strategy, and I would love for you to do it. And you can even use the visualization. You can visualize doing the things that you love to do, and you're more likely to actually do it when you schedule it in. But the self-care thing could be simply taking a 10-minute nap. It could be looking at a magazine. It could be just sitting out on a park bench. It's just you've scheduled in time for yourself. That is the healing in and of itself, that you've done that you have thought about yourself and scheduled in time for yourself. That is the healing. And that's something that I would love for you to try, because it may break you out of the situation that you're in and help you break past it and enable you to lose the weight easier. Does that make sense?
That makes a lot of sense. I really like that a lot, making yourself the priority and scheduling it in. Thanks for that, John.
Yeah, and that's the thing. If you don't schedule it in, then you just feel like it's an indulgence. But when you schedule it in, and as far as your mind's concerned, your mind gives you permission to do it.
Yeah, and Rebecca's typing in right now saying, yes, thanks, and yes, thank you. I resonate with Tiffany's story.
Yeah. Cool. Awesome. Cool.
So there is just one more question from today's chat roll,
okay.
And it comes from Jane,
yeah.
And her question is, She says, I'm having trouble thinking of something chasing me that isn't scary but effective.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I would let go of the idea. Okay, here's one, by the way, of something chasing you that isn't scary and effective. You can imagine, you know, whoever your childhood best friend was you used to play chase or tag with, you can imagine them chasing you. Other than that, if you don't find that, if that doesn't work for you, you don't find that to be effective, I would let the idea of something chasing you go away completely. I don't want this to be, you know, I don't want it to cause stress. You can imagine chasing something or someone, your friend or whatever you could imagine chasing some prey if you were out in the wild or something like that. But the one that I do these days is not any kind of chasing or being chased. The one that I do is simply during those intense moments of peak exertion for those 10 seconds, I imagine my body in the most perfect shape possible. And I find that that works really well because that's still communicating to your body that whatever's going on, this is what you need to do. You need to be like this. And that works really well.
Beautiful. John, there is one question from the last show that I think a lot of people might resonate with, if it's okay to ask that one.
Okay.
And the question is, the person is still wondering how to set boundaries to reduce overwhelm and burnout. Also, how should the person eat and visualize when they're stressed out by others' behaviors, for example, their teenage children?
Okay, so let's take it one question at a time. There's really kind of two questions there, and that is about the boundaries. Just repeat the first question again about the boundaries.
Sure, and just by coincidence, someone just typed into the chat role as well about boundaries, so I'll read that as well. But the first part of her question is she's still wondering how to set boundaries to reduce overwhelm and burnout. And the person in the chat role said, could you speak to setting boundaries and how that keeps weight on if you don't have them, and also how to start setting them?
Yeah. Okay. So let's just talk about boundaries then. So your body uses weight as a way of forming boundaries in a number of different ways. One of them is simply because people are invading your space, even if people are only invading your mental space, your body only knows your body. That's all it knows. So if people are invading your mental space, it's almost the same as people are invading your physical space, as far as your body's concerned. And one of the reactions that your body has to people invading your physical space is to have more weight, because it does two things. One is it pushes it creates physical space between you and that person that's invading you. Because there's a buffer of fat between the you inside and the person. So there's this buffer of fat, and that's part of our body's programming. So that creates sort of this boundary that keeps someone from invading you. The other is, and people have experienced this, and I've worked with people who have experienced this exact issue, is that when you put on more weight, if you are being physically abused or people are harassing you. When you have more weight on you, you're less of a target. They might look for someone else that's more appealing as far as the generally accepted version of what's appealing is. So it can kind of protect you in those two ways. There's another way that that weight can protect you and create sort of like this boundary is an energetic boundary. So when people are negative around you, if they have a hostile emotions or negative thoughts, that those are energies, and fat is a buffer of energies. So when I was 400 pounds, I went and got a chest x-ray, and the x-ray didn't come out because I had too much fat on my body. So what does that mean? It means that the energy of the x-ray was not able to penetrate the fat. The fat was able to absorb the energy. And in the same way, fat is able to absorb negative mental and emotional energy. So in these various ways, our body is using fat as a form of protection, specifically in terms of setting boundaries. Now, as I mentioned earlier in the class, when you have had any kind of trauma or abuse, you are less likely to have strong boundaries because you have lower self-esteem, lower self-confidence. You're not worthy. You're justified. You think it's okay. That's what they want. They're more important. Because you do get that message when you've had any type of mental or physical abuse. You do get that message that you're not important. So you're less likely to set strong boundaries when you've been abused. You also don't want to upset the other person. You know, if you had an alcoholic parent and every day they came home, you didn't know if they were going to drink or not. And when they did drink, they became very abusive. You don't want to get into a confrontation with them. You don't want to set them off. You're going to do whatever they say to do because you don't want to make them mad. And so you don't have strong boundaries because you don't want to have conflict. So it's typical when we've had emotional trauma that your body may want to use weight to give you stronger boundaries and that you would possibly not have stronger boundaries. So that's the relationship between weight and boundaries. And having stronger boundaries is really, you have to approach it, to be effective, you can approach it in really three different ways. One of them is to work through the original trauma and reassociate it from your, as far as your body's concerned, using the types of therapies that we recommend, such as cellular release therapy or tapping, meridian tapping, or some of the therapies that we talk about in week three. When you address the original trauma and it's no longer making your body feel unsafe in an unconscious way, then you have better self-esteem. You are not as afraid of confrontation because the trauma's been worked through. So that's really, really effective. The other is to use another form of protection other than weight, such as we talk about in the safe, strong, and protective visualization, like a column of light and a guardian angel around you all the time. And then the other is to use all that in a way where you're visualizing the conversation that you're having with the people and saying no and getting better and better at saying no, and also doing the affirmation work that we talk about. We're saying, I love you, I accept you, I appreciate you, I forgive you. All of these different things are enhancing your self-worth, and maybe even saying one over and over again, I am safe, I am protected, I am nourished. So when you're feeling safe, you're more likely to speak your mind, because it's really fear. At the end of the day, it's that causes us to say yes when we want to say no. There's no other reason. It's just fear. And so the safer you feel, the more protected you feel, the more likely you will be able to feel safe enough to say no when it's time to say no. And so doing this type of work to strengthen your boundaries is so crucial in weight loss. And it's usually the missing link for people that have had emotional trauma. And when you work through that and you get to a place where you have the self-worth and the confidence and work through the issues and done the visualization and have the protection and feel safe and start saying no, it builds a positive momentum and the weight just lets go really, really quickly. That's a really powerful way to break through a plateau, by the way, is to get to that place where you feel really safe and confident saying no. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes sense. And the person that wrote into the chat roll about boundaries wrote in just now and said, thank you, John. This call alone was worth the cost of the program.
Awesome. Cool. I appreciate that. Mm-hmm. Excellent. So cool. Let's talk about next week for a second. So next week, we're going to dive much deeper into the mind-body connection, because the way years down the road now of meditating and visualizing, not just for weight, but for my life and passions and business, what I've learned is that our mind is so powerful in creating, in programming our body, and the way it was always meant to be. And we just never got, you know, I heard someone say that, you know, our body and our mind didn't come with an owner's manual. You know, we didn't really learn. We're not taught how to program the mind, how to program the body, but you can do these things. You can program the way you feel, the way you, you can reprogram dysfunctional beliefs, and you can also program the body to behave the way it's meant to behave. When you don't do that, it's a little bit like you're in a car, you're in the driver's seat, but you don't have your hands on the steering wheel. So you're going to be skidding and swerving all over the place until you crash. And then you go to the mechanic and they fix it up. And then you go out and you skid all over the place until you crash. But when you are using things like tools like visualization and meditation to consciously program your body and your life, it's like you have your hands on the steering wheel. You are the driver. And they're simple concepts. And you've been doing this now for 4 weeks, you've been getting stronger and stronger in your ability to visualize and meditate. And so we're going to take it a step further so that you have all the tools you need once you leave this course to not only be successful in transforming your body, but transforming your life as well. Cool. So that's next week. That's going to be Monday night in the U.S., Tuesday morning in Australia, New Zealand. In the meantime, have a great, great weekend, and I'll speak to you soon. Take care. Thanks for joining me on this Ask John call-in day. For any questions I was unable to get to in this call, I'll post my written responses in the forum for your reference. I appreciate you taking time to join me here, and I look forward to connecting again with you soon.